Hello, welcome to the Apple Cart, a podcast brought on by business owners who like to upset the proverbial corporate apple cart. They do things in a different way, creatively, disruptively, and occasionally randomly. I'm your host, Gudrun Lorette. And welcome back to the Apple Cart. My guest today is Lenka Kapova. Lenka is a marketing therapist for coaches and health and wellbeing professionals and helps them to create businesses that enable them to live their dream lives. She helps them to use digital marketing strategically so that they can grow their business without feeling overwhelmed in a way that sustains their business long term. She's on a mission to help them bring more fun and joy into their marketing to be able to create a thriving business that fulfills all of their dreams, which sounds great. Lenka, welcome to the Apple Cart. Thank you for being here.
Let's talk about doing things differently in business. So when we met in Newcastle, but you were living in Cambridge, but that's not where you're from originally. So tell us a little bit about your journey and doing things differently and how you ended up in Cambridge and then going home again.
Yeah, that's definitely a journey. And I think that my whole life has been a bit around the theme of doing things differently, because I never felt like I belong and I fit in and I want to follow the path that is laid out for you from, you know, school and work and family and house and this kind of a life. And it never felt like right for me. And I always knew that I want to be self-employed. And I want to be in my own boss. I want to have my own control. But at the same time, when I moved to UK, I moved as a student, as part of an exchange program. And then I stayed for a little bit because I found a job, still with a vision that one day I will come back to Czech Republic and find a job. But at the same time, I've struggled fitting in the company culture and fitting into the very sexy, funky marketing agency world. It just, the cultures felt always a bit toxic and not really flexible and creative as they present themselves to be. So I started freelancing. I was very lucky. I found a really great mentor early on who helped me and gave me the motivation to start. But it was very scary because I was, 25, 26, still pretty new in the country. Left a year or two off scholarships and savings. So I was like leaving a reasonably secure kind of an agency job. And it was interesting to get started. And I think we as entrepreneurs can very easily get into some bad habits of it's just work. And talking about doing things differently, I really early on then realized that I was saying the whole thing that my business is my life, that my business is my lifestyle. And I think it's quite dangerous to say that you have a lifestyle business and understand it from the perspective that running a business is my life. It's my lifestyle. Rather than no, I really had to quickly, after a very early burned out and got into a situation of having panic attacks and insomnia and I could not sleep. I was like, no, I just cannot be pushing this hard of not having breaks, not having anything, because I have to finally have the freedom and flexibility and control. I can do whatever I want. So why am I pushing so hard? Why am I doing it so difficult for myself? And I really flipped it and I was like, okay, my business serves me. My business serves my lifestyle. So what is it that, what is the lifestyle, to the life I want to have? And what then my business needs to look like and how it needs to perform so I can have the life I want.
Yeah, I like that. And I think it's, I know we've talked about it before, that it is very much, you're always thinking about your business, you know, and it's, but in a nice way, because it's not like, you know, if you have an office job and you go home thinking about work, it's probably not healthy because, you know, you've probably got an awful boss or difficult clients or difficult co-workers. So in a way, it's nice that you're thinking about your business because you're always thinking about change and growth and things. But yeah, it isn't healthy to only focus on your business. And for me, my business very definitely is a lifestyle business because I've been sickly, like some kind of Victorian orphan, most of my life. You know, I go through periods where I'm really not well, and then other times I'm okay. So for me, I quite quickly got into that idea of how can I balance my energy and, periods of well-being with actually doing the work. And I think that moving away from that notion of the 9 to 5, but also from working with clients who want that 9 to 5 commitment, I think makes a big difference, because not everybody's suited to it, and it might be health, it might be preference, and you need to find people who think the same way, or who will support you if that's how you think, because there are clients who will demand all of your time. And I know that in the early days you kind of go along with it because you think you should, and that's not healthy either, is it? So I really like the fact that you spotted that quite quickly and began to make that shift. Did you encounter any resistance from people around you? What about the people you were working with in the agency, or family and friends? Did anybody say, "This is a bit nuts. What are you doing? Why are you leaving this job?"
Yeah, I think because I was not given a choice leaving the agency, the truth is I was fired because I wasn't good enough, air quotes. They found a reason to get rid of me after, I think, 6 or 9 months after this new sexy job. And when I was interviewing for new jobs, it always felt like I will have the same company culture clash that caused them to then want to get rid of me. So I was like, well, apparently that's not a route for me. So let me try the freelancing. And as I said, I was very lucky that within 6 months I was back to the finances I wanted, and I had a reasonably sustainable business model back then. But as I said, it wasn't necessarily that I was then thinking about what the business can do for me. I was just like, okay, work, 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 work. But then, yes, a bit of my health issues, this realization of personal journey of I actually want to have a certain lifestyle. I'm here in this business because I want to have a life. I want to be able to care for my health. I want to be able to have fun. I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to explore, which meant that I had to change a bit of my clientele and my business model. In between, put in pandemic, put in the fact that I have moved away from Cambridge back to Czech Republic. I spent a couple of years there, back in a family farmhouse, helping my mom and spending a lot of time actually doing manual labor, taking care of a massive house, massive garden. But it was also great because then I didn't have the financial pressure of living in Cambridge, living in UK, living in a rented apartment. I was living in the middle of nowhere where the life was genuinely slower, a lot more self-sustaining. You grew a lot of your produce. And I really it allowed me to reconnect so much more with myself. The pandemic helped to a lot of people to rethink our values and rethink what is actually important to us. And this move and living back in the countryside, that really helped me to then be like, okay, now I don't have to have a business that performs on a high level. So I can start thinking about, well, what is the business that I want? What is the clientele that I want? I had a moment where I was like, well, maybe I don't want to be doing social media marketing. I hate social media. I don't want to be on social media. I had a bit of a tough time with marketing and with social media. And I was thinking, do I want to do this, or what would be alternative career? And that's where I found health and well-being. I really got on my own health and well-being journey. I started getting lots of courses and training around psychology and neuroscience, which I was always fascinated by. And then I changed my business model. I changed the services, how I offer them, the clientele I work with. And that didn't really help because I found a client who were happy with me being flexible, who were happy with me being abroad, working remotely, clients who put their own health and well-being first as well. So we could have very open conversations about levels of energy, about priorities, about, how do you then build a business and market a business that is, again, serving you. And that's where my whole purpose is, like, life first. No matter what we do, our life has to come first, and our job and our business that needs to serve it. And we need to think about ways how we can do it. And there's always a way. There's always a way. That's the beauty of business. Like, we can do whatever. Like, we don't have to follow anyone's template, anyone's blueprint. We can be like, this is what I want, and this is what would work for me. Let me figure out how to do it. And anything is possible. That's the beauty.
And so what has that meant for you now, in terms of how you view your business and your lifestyle, what has that's a very profound shift, which a lot of people, certainly in employment, don't get to. So what does this mean day to day? How do you feel about things now?
So obviously I'm maybe in a bit different situation than a lot of people, being that I'm single. I'm not planning, well, I have a partner, but I'm not married. I don't have kids. I don't plan to have kids. I don't necessarily am a nester, so I'm not saving to buy a massive house. I've always been more of a minimalist. So really this helped me to go back to these values and roots, to be like, I am very happy to live with bare minimum. I don't need too many things, which means I don't need to be earning. And it was a big mind shift for me, because I was doing, so much of money mindset and how do you change your mindset to manifest more money and to go to 5K months and 10K months and whatever K months to, have six figure business and seven figure business. I was like, realized that, like, no, I don't want that. I want just enough to have a comfortable life, which for me means that I can dedicate time in the morning to meditate and journal and go to the gym and start the day slowly and treat myself to nice coffees. And then, yeah, I can, jump on a call with a couple of clients. I can do a couple of strategies, but I can also have side projects. I can do my own podcast. I can travel a lot. I can spend time, exploring different skills and hobbies and stuff. So right now, I don't have schedule. Like, I live on based on my calendar, but it's not like I work X amount of hours a day or I work X amount of days. I work when I need to work, and I take time when I want to take time off. So it's like sometimes I work Sundays and sometimes I don't work Mondays, and I do whatever I want, because the first thing that always comes into my calendar is what I want. It's my life. It's my fitness. It's my health. It's my well-being. It's my fun. It's my creativity. Whatever I want to be doing, that comes in the calendar first. And then whatever time is remaining, that needs to be then distributed. Obviously, there's still some life admin and family and stuff like that. But then the rest of the time then gets distributed to business. And I have to have a business model and charge certain prices and have certain clients to then allow me within this reasonably small amount of hours a week to earn what I need to live. But as I said, I do tend to live quite frugally. So, and it works for me.
Yeah, no, I love that. No, I'm very inspired. What advice would you give then to people who want to be different or disruptive or creative in their life and their business? What would you suggest that they do? What might be the first thing that they could do?
Well, I think first thing is to believe that you can. So often we live in the beliefs of, oh, it's only for others, only they can do it because I can't do it, because I have a family, because I have this, because I have that. We have so many limiting beliefs. So the first step is really, truly understanding and believing that, yes, you can. Anything is possible. You have the power, and yes, you are creative. Yes, you are unique. Yes, you are all of those things. So stop holding yourself back. And sometimes it helps to really start brainstorming and thinking about, imagine a world where, forget all the rules, forget all how it's been done, all the social media pressure and all the Instagram posts and LinkedIn advice of, this is the path to success and this is the path. Be like, what success means to you? What would you consider very happy, very fulfilling, very successful life? Obviously, monetarily wise, but also there is more in than just the money. There's the time, there's the energy, there is the creativity that really comes as success as well. And then imagine that anything is possible, because it is. And then start thinking, if I had the control, which you have, then what would I do? And start experimenting with that.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? It's got to come down to your beliefs. Did you ever meet Dave Aldrew in Newcastle? He's the
I don't think so.
burnout and resilience guy. He Stress Guru is his sort of tagline. And one of the things he talks about is about beliefs, and about trying to avoid getting to that point where you need to reset because you've had a burnout. And that's one of he has this this idea of cabbages and sprouts, and that as humans we're all juggling too many big smelly cabbages, but if you chunk them down into little sprouts, they're a lot more manageable. And he's had a couple of podcasts, and I think he's now focusing on health and well-being, sort of for middle age onwards. And it's really interesting to that all that sort of, the beliefs about yourself and about the self limits that we put on ourselves, that some of them are ours and some of them are society's. And it's just, yeah, it's really interesting that he talks about that a lot, and about about managing expectations, but also yourself first,
Yeah, and I think that's been one of my big realizations is that our society is very much designed to listen to others, from being a child, listen to your parents, listen to your teachers, listen to the doctors, listen to your bosses, listen to the politicians, listen to the influencers, listen to the experts. And so little we are encouraged about, well, listen to yourself, like listen to your gut, listen to your intuition. Listen to your body, trust yourself, trust your opinion, trust your creativity, trust your visions. Because so often we will hear, friends and family discouraging us from like, oh, this is impossible, this is hard, don't do this. It's scary to quit a job and do this. It's scary to buy a van and go travel Europe alone with your cat. You're going to be, it's scary. I wouldn't do that. So I think big part of this journey of creating the business that we want and the life that we want is part of it is learning to trust ourselves and to listen to ourselves. Because sometimes so many people, they don't know what they want. They really don't know themselves. They don't know what truly is that would make them happy because there's so much noise outside that we just don't quiet down enough to allow the voices and to allow the inner answers come out. And then even if we hear them, we often don't feel encouraged to trust them.
I think there's a sort of a default setting of listen to the experts without really thinking, excuse me, thinking through what does that actually mean? We're just mindlessly following people. When I started out running my own business, I was on Twitter, as it still was then, and I followed a load of social media influencers on social media, and I thought, I don't understand what these people are doing. I still obviously haven't quite got my head around social media, and I don't think I have yet. But I was following some big names, sorry, at the time, and I was looking at them, and I thought, I don't understand them, but also, I'm not really interested. And I thought, well, you've been told that these are the people to follow, but I thought, well, I'm not interacting, I'm not engaging, I'm not sharing their stuff because it doesn't mean anything. So what I did was I actually went and completely unfollowed everybody, and I started again. And the only people who I followed who were influencers were people I'd met in real life. So obviously we both met Brian Fanzo, so I followed him because I'd met him. But then other people, like Kim Goss, who seemed really lovely, I thought, well, I don't know you. You've got some, sure your advice is good for some people, but it's not for me. So that was what I did, and I actually had a list of, then I set up Twitter lists, and it was people I had met in real life, people I know personally, people I know through business. I mean, did I do much tweeting? No, but I'd given some thought to it, and I think that was the main thing. You don't just blindly follow people just because you think you should. I think that's been my problem all along with social media, is that it feels false.
And it's so interesting because that's where then for me in the last couple of years, again, I found a renewed relationship with social media. And it was because I felt like I live in this bubble of people that I know, which are a lot of marketers, lots of creators, lots of people giving business advice, business coaches. And I was like, I felt the pressure of, being on the same path as these people, starting at the same time, having kind of the same industry, the business, and then seeing them, launching this and launching that and making this and making that. So actually, I did the exact opposite on LinkedIn in the past couple of years. I've unfollowed. I'm still connected with them, but I've unfollowed and hidden their content from anyone I know who is a marketer, who is a graphic designer, who is a business coach, who talks about this. And I started following people who talk about the things I wanted to learn about, which was health and well-being, mindset, creativity, but people who were creating content that did not make me feel less than, that I was like, ooh, this is cool, this is creative. And it was complete strangers, but I built so many new wonderful relationships now with people who are health experts, who are neuroscientists, who are yoga teachers, who are spiritual healers, who want to still have a business and want to learn about marketing, but who are not just repeating the same marketing dogmas and best practices and make me feel less than because my business does not look like theirs, because it should, because I know them and we follow the same influencers and we should be doing the same thing. So it's interesting that I had a completely opposite realization of like, I don't want to follow anyone I know because most of the people I know are in the same industry and that just not feels right. But there's just proof of anything can work. That worked for you because that's what you needed. And this works for me because it's what I needed. It's completely different, opposite approaches. And yet they both work. They both helped us achieve what we needed to achieve with that action.
What I've done is I use Instagram mostly for posting pictures of the dogs or food, but I wasn't posting consistently enough for it to be worth having a business account. So I moved my Instagram back to a normal personal account, and then I didn't feel bad for not posting. But then I followed the people, like you said, about health and well-being, so I follow them there. So it's kind of, and there's a couple of Facebook groups that are not toxic that are also health and well-being. So that's where I go. So I think I don't use X anymore. But I think, I use sort of LinkedIn for chatting to people and for business, and then the things that, the health things and the personal interests I use Instagram for. So I think it's actually kind of nice to have that, a literal separation of
Absolutely.
things. So yeah, it's a yeah, I think it is just what works for you. And I think that's what we've been talking about all along, is that's the key, is what feels right. And I think post-COVID, I think people are more comfortable with that now, about being open and and talking about that. I know, because obviously we both work partially in the tech sector, and I know that's been a big thing with the shortage of tech talent, is because, the tech industry, and obviously during COVID when they were so much in demand, they've gone, actually, do you know what? This has been exhausting, and I don't have to. We've proved, because we had to, that we can work from home. All those years where Tim Ferriss is saying, demonstrate to your boss why you don't need to be in meetings and stuff, is kind of no longer relevant, because we've all had to demonstrate. And I think that's been such a massive shift, probably more for employers than for the employees, who kind of knew all along that they were better managing their own time. But yeah, I think that's been a big shift.
Well, I'm curious. Obviously, I now know that you have made a move from the UK to France as well. So I'm just curious to know again, how was that decision and how did it change your life and business? Kind of knowing that, you are rerouting from your community because Newcastle is such a strong community, such a strong friendship. It's not like you never go there. It's for me the same, like I still go back to Cambridge. But how was it for you to, obviously you've experienced living in France for a little bit, but how is it now being a lot more permanent there and being a lot more removed from your native community up in Newcastle?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think partly, obviously, during COVID, we were all forced to spend time apart, so it doesn't feel as alien as it did. So yeah, in terms of community, the people that I'm close to from Newcastle are people I've known for nearly a decade, and all of that has come through when Andrew and Pete of Atomic did their in-person networking events in Newcastle. And so those relationships were formed really, really early on in my business, and they've grown over time. So being not there physically, I don't think it matters as much as it might have done, because everybody who's part of my community, everybody's busy. People have got their own family commitments. They've got, parents, they've got children, they've got pets. There's a lot going on. So you don't have a lot of time, but the time you do have is quite meaningful. So that, I think, that isn't so hard. Obviously, my French isn't up to attending networking events and things. So that can be a bit lonely, but I have found a couple of new online communities which have been really, really valuable in the last 6 months. So I'm in an online networking group where we have a home group, and then you're free to visit other locations virtually. And then I've also joined a creative networking group where we meet online twice a month, but there's also a WhatsApp group where people come with personal challenges, with business challenges, but then also just a lot of waffling on, a lot of puns, a lot of here's some stupid thing, here's a biscuit. I can't believe they've invented pickled onion Monster Munch flavored mayonnaise. And that's really nice, because it turns out that there's a whole community of creative people who are as weird as I am.
Yeah.
So that is really, really nice. I suppose the biggest shift has been to go from suburban Gateshead to very rural Brittany, where we didn't even have a house number until about 3 years ago. And it's because I've lived in Newcastle most of my adult life. I know my way around. I know where the shortcuts around Eldon Square. I know the bars and the restaurants and the places to take the dog, and everything is accessible. You don't really need a car. You can get home in a taxi for under a tenner. There's takeaways. The supermarkets are open all the time. That, and then you come here where the supermarkets are shut on a Sunday, where if you've forgotten to buy milk, then it's a 30-mile round trip. And it's funny because Mark, my husband, he's always wanted to live in the middle of nowhere, and I've always said, I like being in the city. I need the sort of the lights and the potential of going out and doing things. But actually, in the last year or so, we've been quite content not to. And I think because I've been coming here since my parents bought the house 24 years ago, and as a stroppy teenager, I hated it. It was too remote, and it is still too remote. But over time, the more I came here, certainly post Brexit and then post COVID, we both found that we didn't want to go back. Going back to England, we just the more times we came here and did our thing, the worse we felt going back. I think, my mother-in-law lives in Ireland, my parents are here, my brother's in Belgium, he's been there since he was 18. There was nothing keeping us in England anymore. As Purdue the dog is French, so
Yeah.
she's happier here, where she can go out and slaughter pheasants. It's not so much of a challenge when you have to kill half a Greggs pasty. They don't put up much of a fight at Greggs pasty, whereas the pheasants, it's a bit of a actually the pheasants don't put up much of a fight either, but the hares do. So yeah, I think it gradually became obvious that we were going to be happier here than there. And there is such a community spirit here that we didn't get in Gateshead. There's not a lot of neighbours, there's only 12 other houses here. But we know everybody. Our neighbour Dolores, she's in and out all the time. Marie, who runs the farm, she pops in, literally just pops in, lets herself in, brings us milk. The neighbours planted some rhododendrons in the garden for my mum for her birthday. And then you just, whatever's happening, you go along to. If it's not your thing, it doesn't matter. We've been to a death metal night at the local town hall watching a lot of local teenagers screaming. We've been to a line dancing party, which was surprisingly busy. We've been to art exhibitions. We've been, there's a local pub that has music on every weekend. We went there and watched. We were quite excited because it was an 80s night, but it turned out to be 80s French songs, of which, of course, we didn't know. But we were like, well, great, we'll go along anyway. So that's it. It's, maybe now I'm old. It's easier, but that's your social life, whatever anybody else is doing. And it might be remote, but it's never quiet. It is never quiet. There's always something going on. Always. And I think we just, yeah, we're just, I think it's about being happy and content. And because it's quiet and there's no street lights, we all sleep much better here. We get a lot more fresh air because, the dogs can see the fields from the windows, and so they like to go out and sniff about. So yeah, so it's, we're getting fresh air, whereas in Gateshead we used to have to drive somewhere that we could let the dog off the lead, whereas here, it is literally on our doorstep. So yeah, I think it just eventually made sense to do that rather than to stay. And in terms of work, it doesn't make a difference because now we've got the internet. We've got Starlink, which grates on us because we have to give Elon Musk money, but his Starlink is really good.
Yeah, unfortunately, his Starlink is really good. That's what I'm learning now as I'm preparing on my journey. The same when I was looking for like hotspots and remote packages and data. The one thing that everyone who is working on the road recommended is just like get a Starlink. And yep, it is really good. So totally get that.
Yeah. So yes, that's that was it really. But I know Marco, he uses Starlink when he's on the road with his video editing stuff, doesn't he? He uses that.
Yep, unfortunately, it's Elon, but the service is great. And again, it's all up to what it enables us to do. And it enables us to live the lives where and how we want. And I loved listening to, your story and how it changed because I felt very similar. So I
Yeah.
grew up rurally. I grew up in the middle of nowhere. And as a teenager, it's a hell. It's not. But then during COVID coming back, and kind of living through COVID in a rural area where the life always has been isolated, slower. Kind of, we've always went to the city once every 2 weeks for a big shop. So doing that during COVID did not feel any different. And obviously, then having all the space, and we were still hanging out with our neighbors because, come on, it's like an open space. You can go for, walks with the dog anytime you want. You don't need to go for 1 hour a day or borrow your friend's dog so you get your time out. And yeah, as you said, like reconnecting with the neighbors, reconnecting with, we have a couple family, you have like summer houses and cottages there. And the same is like, oh, I have too many tomatoes, you have too many lettuces, let's exchange. And every day after walk, let's stop for a glass of wine and a little bit of a chit chat. So it doesn't need to be like organized hanging out, but you just hang out with people a bit more naturally. Like they help out on your garden, you help out on their garden. You go to the city, you take them and you buy something for them. So it was really nice to read the appreciation of the slower life, of the community, of helping out each other. And yeah, the less pressure. And that's where lots of then changes happen for me. Of like, I like this. I like this not having to earn as much because I have to pay for expensive flats somewhere in the city. But then also now I am living in a city and it has its perks because now I have a gym available. And I have cafes available, and I have things, and I have community of cool people that I can hang out with. So it's interesting how life goes in waves and how, a rural girl going to a big city, living in London for a little while, coming back locally, now living in a reasonably big city in Czech Republic, but also still being pulled towards any kind of a green space. If there is a park, I am grateful. I'm lucky that we live literally opposite a park. So most of the days I just spend my day as much as I can for hour and a half in the morning with a podcast or audiobook, just walking around in circles through the park and just soaking up the atmosphere and soaking up the nature. But yeah, that's so interesting to really how ch life changes and what then, this new chapter, how it really fits and suits
Yeah.
well and
Yeah, my social
makes you
life is
happy.
much better here than it was in England. Mark, not
Amazing.
so much, but too bad. But it's I like the idea of spending a bit of time in the morning listening to podcasts. I can only listen to podcasts when I'm cooking because I need to be doing something on autopilot. So I can't listen to podcasts when I'm exercising because I'm very clumsy and I'll fall over. If because I'm focusing on what they're saying. So cooking, surprisingly, I don't ever chop my finger off, but if I was exercising and I'm listening, I'll fall over. So
Interesting how we're all different because I cannot be doing anything to if I'm listening to podcast or listening to an audiobook. Like exercise, yes, because it's more of a like but like the muscle memory just it does things. But I usually do it when I'm commuting or when I'm just walking around. I cannot do anything else like cooking. I still need to think about what I'm doing. Cleaning the house, I cannot. Like I cannot be doing something that takes me away from the story. So I will often listen to audiobooks when I'm walking, when I'm
yeah.
hiking, or when I'm commuting on a train or bus or somewhere, or when I'm driving long distance and I don't need to like obviously I can just drive.
Yeah.
It's not something like I can still follow the map, but unless it's but if I'm then in a complicated city situation where I need to navigate a lot, I need to pause it like
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I don't listen to podcasts when I'm walking the dog because I don't trust her. So I need my full attention on Purdue in case she does something naughty, which she probably will. So yeah, so but yeah, maybe I need to do more walking without the dog. But don't tell her that because she'd be furious. She thought I was going walking without her.
Oh, poor little girl. Yeah, don't tell her that.
But what about you then with the cat on the road? How does that work? Because you don't often hear people traveling with a cat.
Yeah, so luckily my cat is a very special cat. He is almost like a half a dog. People are always surprised because so it will be about a year since we adopted him. And I was not planning on adopting a cat. I just went to a cat cafe to hang out with kitties because I needed a bit of a change of scenery. And I did not even know that this cat cafe works with shelters and all the cats in there are up for adoption.
Oh,
And
okay.
it was this ginger fella that, was really sweet and cuddly and so calm and so adorable. So obviously I took a couple pictures of him, hang out with him for a little bit, went home, started showing all the pictures to my partner. I was like, hey, I fell in love. This boy is gorgeous and everything. And somewhere in the back of my mind, I did then realize that I could possibly adopt him. So after a bit of a back and forth with me and my partner, we're like, well, yeah, we're adopting a cat. But I now say that the cat has chosen me, the ch
Yeah.
cat has chosen us because he wanted this kind of a lifestyle. Because he is a very adventurous kitty. He is absolutely natural in harness, on a lead. He walks like a dog so comfortably, so confidently, like not being a naughty boy. He is very comfy on a lead. He's very happy in his cat backpack. So we just had a trip to Berlin, to Germany. For 7 hours on a train. He was the best, the sweetest, the cutest. Everyone loved him. The same when we did a couple trials of renting a van to see how he's gonna be. He is either happy chilling in his bag or being on a small lead while we're driving. And when we stop, we just let him off and he just climbs all over the car and again is happy to get all the cats and kit cuddles and attention because people are always like, wait a minute, you have a cat. There is a cat. There is a
Yes.
cat. People everywhere is like on a train. Oh, there's Kitty. People in a van. Oh, look, there's Kitty. So it works pretty well. Like the same as with the dog, you just walk him.
Yeah.
So he expands a lot of energy. But the good thing about cats is they will expand a lot of energy very quickly. So half an
Yeah.
hour, he will go like mental. And
Yeah.
then for the next 8 hours, he will be completely done. Then
Yeah.
he will be mental for half an hour with his zoomies. So we will have another walk or another play session, and then he will sleep. So he's good.
That's really cool. I came across a phrase. What do they call it? It's something like the cat. Is it the cat distribution
System, yeah.
system where the cats choose you? Yeah, and I think that's often the same with dogs.
And I definitely say that this boy has chosen us for a reason because he wanted this kind of lifestyle. He is the perfect. If I would have picked a kitty and tried to train the kitty from baby to be this well behaved, I might have had not the same luck as really getting this boy. He was 2 years old, so reasonably, over his teenage years, young adult, so already an adult cat. But he is absolutely perfect for this kind of a lifestyle. So that's why I feel a lot comfortable just going on this adventure and kind of embarking on this new chapter with him, because he is perfect for it. He is, that's what he wanted.
And I'm
So
just
who am I
baffled.
to stop him?
Just because he can't drive himself doesn't mean he shouldn't be out and about in a van.
Exactly.
And that's the main thing, so long as they're happy, you know. God. Yeah, I was on a train recently and somebody had a really cute, well-behaved dog, and I thought, you just could not take Perdio on a train. She's too big, but she'd be a nightmare. So
And
yeah.
there's the same with a cat in a hotel when we went on a business trip, and then had a kitty in a hotel, and we have everyone coming by. I'm like, it's incredible. Like, this cat is so chilled, so easy, so happy with other people, happy in a taxi, in a backpack, happy exploring around. People are like, what is this? I'm like, yeah, the cat is like half a dog.
And the backpack, is it one of those ones with the sort of the bubble so the cat can see out?
Yeah, so it's like a netting. So it's like a backpack with lots of netting that, like, a mesh. So obviously he can breathe and he can see. So yeah, often in a taxi I would have him on my lap and he would be like looking out of the window, like watching what's happening. And when he's bored, he just, rolls himself into a little bit of a ball. I can put my hand in and I pet him, and he just falls asleep, because then he's like, okay, I'm done.
Oh, perfect. Where can people find out more about you if they want to reach out and find out what it's like traveling with a cat?
So for my lifestyle, for my life, they can find me mostly on Instagram, where I'm documenting a bit of what we do with a kitty. So that's Lenka Kop, Lenkakopp. If you search for my name, Lenka Kopova, you will usually find me. And the same for LinkedIn. If you want to see a bit more from the business perspective, a bit more of the professional angle, then find me on LinkedIn. That's where I try to spend a little bit of my time online. But also, if you want to see a bit more of my obsessions and passions, that I do have a podcast where we talk about anything and everything life related, podcast called Into Your Life Podcast. So if anyone wants to tune in for similar conversations, kind of freestyle about health and well-being and lifestyle and personal development, we would love to have you over there as well.
That sounds brilliant. Thank you very much. Hi, it's Gudrun. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Apple Cart. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, feel free to get in touch. Alternatively, please recommend the podcast to someone else. I'll see you on the next episode. Bye for now.